Tedlinesky, I'm here in Mullachy Van Hitford, which is actually in Guineawilla Parish. You're in at the borders of three parishes, actually, Glenfles, Guineawilla and Kilcommon.
And Ted, you grew up in this area yourself. Yeah. Tell me a bit about it when you were younger.
It was grand. It hasn't changed a lot, not an awful lot, except you today have a better time, because in my school days, the bamboo was the order of the day, but that's past and gone, thanks be to God. But
what I assume as well, when you look out that window, you were saying to me that there's very heavy traffic there, and you didn't have that years ago.
Yeah, they would have there might be one car in every five houses them days. Today, there's five cars in every... Well, it is...
Yeah, it's true, it's true.
That's the way it is, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, that's prosperity in youth, with work and all that. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for that. You know, just youth of all jobs, and their work goes as far away as Cork City, and mm-hmm. Tralee and everywhere.
Yeah, and it's amazing now what you can do. You can work anywhere. You can even work inside the sitting room and be working for a company up in Dublin.
Yeah. That's right, yeah, I know that. I know people who did that, especially during the COVID time and that.
Mm-hmm. Ted, you got in touch with me because you heard yourself on the radio a few weeks ago, so you must have gotten an awful lend when you heard it.
Yeah, the first man I prayed for was Sean Hurley. God rest him. Because we did a few programmes together inside in the studio in Killarney, and you know, it was nice to hear some of that back again, you know. It brought back at times about something that I have always been interested in is music from the old days, especially. Mm. You know, the Cady bands, Shaw bands, ballet groups, folk bands, folk groups and all that thing. Like. Mm-hmm. I have a stack of that stuff.
And that's something you and Sean had in common.
We had. It was a funny thing. I had old records there. And I still have them, but some of them, Sean never even heard of the artists. But we did play one of them sticks out, because he played a song of one lady, it's Teresa Duffy. And I think she was from around Dublin, but he rang me a day or two after, and he said he had a call from a lady in, I think it was Vancouver, Canada. Daughter, and that her mum, whether she's still alive or not, this Teresa Duffy was still alive and well at that time. That's a few years back now since that was recorded in London.
Isn't it amazing the power of radio as well?
Oh, sure, the power of radio, yeah. Mm. I mean, sure, where would we be without it nowadays? Like,
mm-hmm. You'd have to wonder. Ted, I have to ask, you write a lot of songs and ballads and whatnot, but where did that come from? Where did you get the grow for it?
I was always interested in it. My mother always told me that when my father died, when I was very, very small, like, and he was a gifted musician, like.
And what did he play?
Piano, accordion. Okay. But I can't play. I couldn't play a note. But I have always interested in music, like, mm-hmm. You know, songs and all that, and old songs and old bands.
Well, writing the song is just as hard as learning an instrument.
I don't know. Well, the inspiration comes from a lot of places, let's say, where I've been. There's one song there, Billy and all the Sean Riley would know about, the Cross of Ranagone, for instance. There's a friend of mine, he lives up, he's actually from there. We went up one day to see his old home place on Ranagone Cross, which is above near, it is halfway between Listowel and Cashel Island. And I said, that gave me the inspiration for that song, which is still very much played on the radio, like, and the 103 as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what does it feel like when you hear your own music?
That is nice, yeah. It is, because even at Rambling Houses, I gave the words of songs to. There's a good few of them, Newmarket and over there, around people from the County of Limerick. They're all into Tipperary. They come, we meet at Rambling Houses and that, and... Mm. Jim Lyons actually recorded Across the Train.
Oh my goodness. And Jim Lyons is a great person for organising a rambling house as well. We were there last
year. It was one of the finest rambling houses you could visit. There was always a great welcome there from mm-hmm. Tom and Kathleen and Jim and Margaret also. If the next time we're in there, I wrote a little poem about them. It was on the wall there.
I must have a look at this.
So. Well, the next time we're in there, yeah.
And what's the poem about?
It is about Jim Lyons' rambling house. Han Lockalocka's Rambling House, I should say. Yeah. But what you said, Jim recorded that on his own CD, The Cross the Drain Again, which was very, very good. Like, you know, I was delighted, you know, because Jim has myself are good friends with many a long day. Like, so, you know.
It's people like Jim and, you know, from other Rambling Houses as well across the county that are very important, Ted, for people like yourself who write songs and maybe just want the room to hear it, but have other people sing it for you.
Well, them Rambling Houses are the life's blood of a lot of that, even traditional music, mm-hmm. because people come and play their fiddles, accordions, bowrons, whatever they play, and they play, they perform. There's no such thing as anyone above the next or anything like that. They're all, whether he's a good player or a bad player, he's,
they are. Don't find out anyway.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. They're all the same. They're all treated with the same respect. There is, you know, you don't have to be professional to be at them places.
Well, that's a great place to go and kind of find your confidence as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you meet people who are maybe in the same boat as yourself, either one way or the other, like health-wise or whatever, like we want to talk about, like, but in life, but You meet all these people, you know. I mean, you could meet up to 80, 90 people at Jim Lyons's.
You easily could. I remember the day I was there. There was people standing on the stairs trying to get
in. I was often sitting on the stairs, looking down.
Ted, obviously, you're here. Your community is great because there, wherever you go, there is a bit of music everywhere. And if you go a bit further, we're here, kind of more or less Slieve Lucre area. There's great musicians that came from here that must have inspired you as well.
Well, in this very townland where we're sitting at the present moment, two of the best musicians in traditional music were born here. Johnny O'Leary was 300 yards over the road, and God rest Jimmy Dale as well. They're both gone. Mm-hmm. Two of the best, definitely they could rub shoulders with the best in the country.
And did you meet them when you were...
Jimmy Dale took me to school on the bar of a rally bike.
What was he like?
He was a brilliant entertainer, Jimmy, so God rest him. So was Johnny Leary. They were both accordion players. Like, Johnny was my mother's era, like. Mm-hmm. You know, Johnny's gone to his reward with a long time. Jimmy's gone just over a year, year and a half or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. But they were born in this very townland.
Probably another reason for you to be so proud that you can write music, songs and
whatnot. Well, I couldn't rub shoulders with him musically, like, because they could walk up on any stage and anywhere in the world and play the best of traditional music. Mm-hmm. But what started it really, songs I did write, I must pay a special tribute to a good friend of mine, Mike Fitzgerald, Knocknagree, because he was the first, we talked about music and songs I did, and he was the first on his album, just called Bright New Star, he recorded two songs I did on that album. One was about, he was alive that time, now he's the late Big Tom of the Mainliners, and the other one was about a dance hall in Donegal, in Bundoran, the Astoria Ballroom in Bundoran, which was very, very famous back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and right into the 70s. But Mike was the first to record them, and then Paddy McAuliffe of Shrone, Paddy recorded four songs on his second left album. Mm-hmm. The Green Grassy Hills is the name of it. Laura Dunleavy from Belly Desmond did one of my songs, and Helen Scollard, who played with Mike Fitzgerald and the band Southern Pride, she did one of my songs on that Mercy Hospital album, and so did her brother John. Mm-hmm. And Mike Peter Locke from Tralee sang a song about Tom Crean, a song I wrote about Tom Crean, the man that went to the Antarctic three times. And Mike Fitzgerald's own son, Leo, he recorded us, he did a song on it. So that made me very proud to do that album for the Mercy.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I was going to ask you. Like, how did you feel when these people actually said, we'll do it, we'll sing?
Oh, yeah, they had no problem in the world. Mm-hmm. Because they knew my late wife, Margaret, the vast majority of them knew her very well from concerts at Mike Fitzgerald's and all that, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So they had no problem in the world. They were delighted to do it.
And how much money did you raise that time?
Well, the Mercy got over 10,000 that time. the exact figure I know, but it was over 10,000. And the other album there about the Crested Rain ago, when I gave the Takings of the Door that night to the Kerry Cork Cancer Bus, I don't know what exactly was that, 1500 euros or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a song about my neighbour, Juliet Colty. That song, Mike Fitzgerald also recorded it. And Juliet had a night, with a night back in Kilcoman. I don't know, she raised well in excess of 1,000 that night for her own charity anyway. Mm-hmm. So we had I don't know exactly the whole that came to a good few pound altogether, all three of them there.
Well, it must be amazing, Ted, to kind of see as well that the way people are so giving as well. Because I think your journey and Juliet's and whatnot, a lot of people are going through these journeys as well with their loved ones.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. And we were very proud and honoured, shall we say, to do it, like, because, yeah. You know, it is...
What do you think your wife would have thought of it?
I don't know.
She'd be very proud of you anyway.
Or else they're mad, one or the other. No, she would not. No. She would. She would not. I think she'd be proud of me, to be honest about it. Mm-hmm. But that's life. That's another. That story, as I said, belongs to another book. Mm-hmm. But all these people now that helped me along the way, you know, just, I owe a debt of gratitude to the whole lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you see, there's a lot in life where you meet a lot of people, and when told you where I was from, there was names coming out from you that you're like, I know this person, I know that person.
That's right, yeah.
But you have connections in a lot of places here in Kerry, and you said you worked in the Pretty Polly many years ago and worked alongside our own Dermot Moriarty.
I did. Well, getting back to Dermot and myself, we won't say anything about the work. We were employed, the two of us were employed by the company. That's about it.
Oh, and you got on like a house on fire.
Yeah, really, I know Dermot for years, and all his family, of course. His late mother Maureen and father Jerry also worked there. We go back a long ways together, mm-hmm. back to the 1960s and 70s.
Wow.
Some of us are rather pretty, and we don't remember, but some of us are rather stepped. We could say we stepped in the 90s or something. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work either.
No. But I imagine as well, Ted, between everything and, you know, as you say, writing songs, you're meeting different musicians as well who are going to sing your songs.
Oh, yeah, sure, I know that, yeah.
You must have been travelling all around Kerry and beyond.
Kerry and Cork, yeah. So, gee, there's some great rambling houses there, like, you know, the Sandpit House down the Mallow Road and the Cultura and Newmarket. All these are great places, like, you know, for rambling houses. You have local ones as well. You have they happen not regularly. You have Glenflesk, but that doesn't happen. The ones I was talking about there earlier on, they're on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. You have Josie McCreesh, God rest her. She was in a rambling house in Brosna, which is run now by Jimmy Coolnan, because Josie, God rest her, passed away. She was a great lady for the rambling houses. So that just go on until the small hours as well.
What are the small hours now?
Well, this time of the year, I could nearly see the sunrise in Joseph's.
Oh, it's a good sign, though, and it's a good sign that everyone's having a good bit of crack.
That was a great bit of camaraderie there, and, you know, people, you know, even like Jim Lyons, is when they play the national anthem, some other fellow might start up again. We've seen late nights there, too, but they're great memories to have.
And are you finding, is there younger people going to them now?
Oh, yeah, sure. The talent that's coming out in young people today is astonishing, because they're properly trained in instruments and all that. Now they're going to schools of music and whatnot, have you like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's very important for them to go to these kind of settings as well, because I know they play at kind of bars and stuff and they have their My Waddy or whatever. But to go to a rambling house and see, as you say, the camaraderie and just being able to socialise with people of all different ages as well for themselves.
Well, you could find a person of 10 there. Well, I won't mention her, but she's 105. She doesn't perform, but she's there. People in their 90s, I met them all. Like, I met them, say, from 10 to 105 in places.
Yeah, and they're all having the same crack?
Well, they're all enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm. And where is the closest one to you now that you'd go to regularly?
The closest one here to me would be Brosna. Josie McCreese is in Brosna. Off the top of my head, I don't, it's some Thursday night anyway. I think there's a second last Thursday night. But last night, no, I wasn't there, would be the Sandpit House down the Mallow Road. Very good. It was a very, very good Ramley House. We get a lot from Cork and Limerick, Bats of Kerry and that thing.
So you're very busy, man, Ted?
No, I'm not. I just pick out these ones if I, when time permits.
And speaking of your time, you have two friends over in the corner of the house. What are their names, the two donkeys?
Sam and Pam. Yep.
How old are they?
I suppose they're about 15, 16 years now, but they're very young yet.
How old will a donkey live till?
Well, I had a fella here one time, he was well gone 40.
Oh my God.
He was, I have a good idea that he was well past his 40th when he passed away.
And did you have a big celebration for it?
No, he just died of old age, that was it, like he.
And why donkeys?
You know, they're a very placid, easy animal. Just get your man to do their hooves on that thing, like, and
yeah. I think they're a gorgeous animal.
Hay and a little bit of a treat in the winter, you know, they like carrots and so on. Mm-hmm. Especially during the winter. Mm-hmm. That's very important because the cold winter, like, it affects a donkey more so.
I don't know, is it just myself or where I'm living at the moment, but I actually never really see people with donkeys anymore. Not as much as one time.
Off the top of my head, I could name. I won't name. I know four people with donkeys.
Ah.
Two donkeys each. I have two.
Is it good to have them in pairs, so?
Yeah, they say it is better. Mm-hmm. Because when they're on their own, they say that they'd be sad. I don't know whether there's any logic in that or not, but
yeah, but I suppose it's nice to have company as well.
Well, they have company, their own company, yeah, but some people farmers let them have the odd donkey with cows and that thing, like.
Yeah. They have to mix in to get to know everyone.
Well, I suppose they don't feel alone then, I suppose.
Exactly, and I suppose when you think about it, it's like us ourselves, we don't like being alone for too long, so we like to be surrounded with people.
No, it's nice to move out and meet other people and whatever, like.
Well, I think it's important, Ted, because a lot of people as well, when they hit a certain age in life and, you know, when they lose their close ones, they kind of isolate themselves a bit. So
well,
it's very important.
That's the worst thing that was ever done. I have a feeling like, you know, you go, because you go, getting back to rambling houses and those things, you meet people in the same boat as yourself and, like, you just, there's no point in saying I'm the only one who suffered the bereavement or whatever, like, or an accident or whatever it may be, like. Mm-hmm. You meet other people the same or maybe worse often.
But it's also important as well because you get that chance to talk.
Oh, you talk to these people, like, and they ask you about this, that and the other thing, and if we talk freely about it, like, they'll talk freely. Like. There's no point in, you know, bottling that thing up, you know. Life goes on anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, Ted. Ted, it was lovely to talk to you. You're an absolute gentleman of the highest accord, and thank you so much for even sending me the letter there 2 weeks ago. Ted, thank you very much.
Right, no problem. Thanks.